That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Why does she get to do that? Why does she get to be that? That or know that or be recognized for that. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm way smarter than her. I've been more places. I've had more schooling. I've done more. I've learned more. I deserve that marriage, that house, her husband, that child. She certainly doesn't. She's got the life I want and she's wasting it. How can I be happy for her when she's got everything I want? I know you've thought it. I have too. You maybe have even said it out loud. One or more of these things. Jealousy. Envy. Ugh. It's like trying to swallow poison. Y'all know as Christians, we aren't supposed to be jealous. We aren't supposed to envy. We aren't supposed to want what other people have. We're supposed to be those people that are rejoicing when other people rejoice. And we should be happy when someone's prayers are answered or they have success or they get a long-awaited answer. And it shouldn't matter who's on stage or behind the microphone when God's truth is taught. But you know that little voice. It's in the back of your head and it says, that should be me. This is a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us. And I'm sure this is going to get hit home for all of us today because we've all struggled in one way or another with feelings of jealousy and envy, and discontentment. I say feelings, but I really should call it what it is. It's sin. Jealousy and envy and discontentment are sin. And really, this flies straight in the face of the cultural narrative. The world says jealousy, oh, it's just a natural response. It's neutral. Sometimes jealousy can even be good, they say. Culture encourages us to use jealousy as motivation. You've probably heard it before. Oh, you're jealous? That means you know what you want. Well, go get it. Prove yourself. You can have anything your heart desires. Show them you're better. And this message, gosh, it's everywhere, from pop psychology to social media influencers. And the underlying message is that your feelings are valid and the solution is to elevate yourself until you get that thing that you want or achieve. That title that you want where you feel superior. Now that sounds empowering, right? But here's the problem. All of that, it centers around you, your value, your desire, your image. So what's the big deal? Does God not want us to have things that we want? Is this a big deal to him? Yes, you bet it is. It's such a big deal that he addresses it in the Ten Commandments. It is in fact the 10th commandment. It's not a footnote. It's not an amendment. No exhibit B. This is part of the original 10. Exodus 20:17 gives us the details. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's pretty comprehensive, don't you think? God says, we can't wish for stuff that belongs to someone else. Can't wish for our neighbor's stuff or their relationships or their animals. And did you notice that this commandment doesn't say anything about actually taking the stuff, but that it's sinful to even want it? So I think it's fair to say that God is addressing their hearts here, right? And I think we would be biblically faithful to take a gander backwards at commandments 1-9 and see, those aren't just behavior things either. We're not talking external outward commands. They all deal with the heart, what motivates us, what we allow our minds to dwell on. And that's what God cares about, our hearts. God doesn't just yell at us, hey, you better not be jealous because I said so. He gives strict instruction that jealousy and envy cannot be part of the lives of his people. The world, thrives off of jealousy. Even the world and the culture back when God chose the Israelites to be his people, those folks were motivated by wanting what everyone else had too. But as his people, they were supposed to look different, be set apart. And part of that set apartness was don't be jealous, don't covet, because that's what the world does. And you're not like the world. You're called to be holy as God is holy. And I don't think we take jealousy and envy seriously enough in our Christian circles and even in our lives as believers. Jealousy and envy are in that category of respectable sins. Maybe we brush them off as natural feelings, or we tell ourselves, hey, everybody struggles with this. It's not that big of a deal. But I want to challenge you to not take this lightly. Because when we treat sin casually, we fall short of recognizing the impact that it has, not just on us, but on our worship and on our testimony to the people around us. Listen, the truth is, jealousy and envy are not minor flaws. They're heart sins that war against God's glory. Very serious. These aren't just emotions or personality quirks. They're sinful attitudes that reveal discontentment with God and ultimately a desire to dethrone him in our hearts. Jealousy and envy reveal what we truly worship. When we're consumed with what others have, whether it's their successes or relationships or even their spiritual gifts, we're exposing a heart that's dissatisfied with God's provision and plan for us. Jealousy. That's the fear of losing something we believe is ours. Could be a relationship or recognition that we have or status, and we're jealous. We don't want to lose those things. Envy, on the other hand, is a desire for something someone else has. So we resent what other people have and we feel entitled to those things. Envy is a symptom of disordered worship. It puts self at the center, not Christ. And scripture is clear, both jealousy and envy are destructive. James 13:16 actually addresses both. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So if we leave these things unchecked, they morph and birth even more sin. Envy, jealousy, we're breeding resentment and bitterness and division. And it robs us of joy and gratitude, and it distances us from the peace God intends for his people. James 3:14-16, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Those are strong words. James doesn't say jealousy is harmless. He says it's from below, not from God. It's the fruit of pride, not love. So these aren't small issues. This is a door flung open to every kind of sin and chaos because we get pride and idolatry and unbelief and so much more from hearts that are jealous and envious. That's a lot. You might be saying, Lib, you're pushing it a little bit far, don't you think? And I would say no. Jealousy and envy come from this disordered heart, not from your external circumstances. And as an affront to the provision of God, it's very serious. You still don't believe me? Okay, let's look at Old Testament just to make sure we're on the same page as God. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." You've probably experienced that before, because that's what envy does. That's what jealousy does. It rots us from the inside. It's rebellion in the disguise of self-pity. And in those moments of self-pity, we start believing those lies that we're jealous because someone else has something that we don't and we deserve it. We should have that better job, happier marriage. There are entire TV channels dedicated to content about the effects of jealousy on the lives of real people. You may have seen them where they trace and track extreme examples of murder because someone wants something that someone else has. Like think Cain and Abel. On the surface, They may seem like victims of circumstance, but underneath, envy is screaming, God, you got it wrong. That should be mine. Biblically speaking, jealousy doesn't really arise just because someone else has more or something that we want. It arises because our hearts are not resting in God's sufficiency. See how jealousy and envy are really not about other people or what they have? It all comes back to the idol of self and to our understanding of who God is and what His blessings really look like. This, at its core, it's really a sin struggle about your relationship with God and your warring with what is going on in your own heart. James 4, 1 through 2 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? That war, it's not external. It's internal. Jealousy reveals that we want something and we're not trusting God to provide it in His time, in His way. The truth is, circumstances can tempt us, but the root in our own discontentment is that we forget that Christ alone is the point, is the goal of our lives. So the solution isn't to change our circumstances or control the people around us. We've got to realign our hearts with the gospel because Christ has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And if that's not enough for us, nothing ever will be. Okay, so now we need to investigate what the Bible tells us about how we should deal with jealousy when it arises in our own hearts. When we come back.
And we'll be right back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. But let's pause a moment if we can. This is one of those episodes, I think, that kind of lives in the home, doesn't it? I mean, you're talking about jealousy and envy and discontentment. These aren't abstract sins. It sits with you when you're scrolling through your news feeds. You're looking at all your friends and their lives, well, their portrayed lives on social media. And then what happens when you see a friend of yours get the thing that you've been begging God for? It's bitterness. It pops up, doesn't it? The worst part, it doesn't even feel like sin to us. It just feels, oh, well, life's not fair. I've been begging for that. Why do they get it and I don't? And Libby, well, she doesn't sugarcoat it today. And that's what I love about The Better Way. She's pulled it into the light, not to shame you, but to free you from living in this bitterness. Because the longer you nurse envy, the more it's going to eat you alive. It's going to eat your joy, your peace, your gratitude. All will be gone before you even realize it. And the next thing you know, you think that the problem is what they have. And the truth is, your heart isn't content with what God's given you. Hey, look, that's why we do what we do here at Fortis Institute. This is why Fortis exists, why The Better Way is a part of what we're building. Because sometimes you don't need another five steps to fix yourself. What you need is a clear, steady voice in your ear saying, hey, look, you're not crazy for thinking this, but you're also not off the hook. Let's deal with it. That's Libby Glossett. That is why we're so excited that she's here. And if The Better Way has been helpful for you, if these episodes have walked you through hard times in your life, I want to ask you, would you partner with us? Because more people need to hear this type of content that we're able to be producing. And we can't produce more of it and extend our reach without partners just like you. Fortis Institute is all in on building biblically grounded, spiritually sane content. And we don't charge for it either, not 1 cent. We do it for free because people like you say, this matters. I want to invest in this. I want to stand with you. And so, would you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Only if you're already giving to your local church. That always comes first. You have to be giving to your local church before you give to us. But if that is an area in your life that looks good and you have a margin to join us, pray about it. You can find out more right now about what it would look like at FortisInstitute.org. And let's get back to Ms. Libby Glossett now. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossett.
Isn't God so kind to provide for us in His Word everything we need for life and godliness? Not just the spiritual stuff, ladies, all of it. Everything we need to live lives that are pleasing to Him, full of joy and full of peace. So, how does the Bible instruct us to deal with jealousy and envy? I'm so glad you asked. First, it shows us that this is a root problem. This is a heart that wants what it doesn't have and refuses to be content in Christ. The Bible is clear that sin, all sin, including jealousy, it flows out of our fallen nature. So we're not victims of emotion and we're not at the mercy of our circumstances. We're just constantly rebelling against God's best. And so we're in constant need of grace as well. And that's exactly what God gives us in Christ. Instead of telling us to chase our desires, like the world says, as we talked about before, the world says, hey, use that jealousy as a launching pad to get what you want. Scripture actually calls us to put those jealous desires, those envious feelings to death. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, covetousness, which is idolatry. And jealousy is idolatry, y'all. It's worshiping what God has given someone else instead of worshiping God himself. But there's hope. Again, God is so good because through the finished work of Christ, we are free from the slavery to sin that we were enslaved to before we became believers, before saving faith. We're free from that slavery. So we don't have to bow to the demand of comparison. We're called to repent. We're not called to just suppress or ignore or to put our jealousy over in the corner and pretend like it's not there. We're supposed to confess it and find forgiveness and power in the gospel. Because guess what? Transformation, true biblical transformation, happens in the mind and the heart. It's not just about behavior modification. It's about heart regeneration. Only the Spirit of God can take your jealous heart and my jealous heart and make it content in Christ. But we have to cooperate. So the next time you feel that sting of envy, that poison of jealousy creeping up in the back of your throat, don't entertain the conversation. Don't justify it as, oh, that's good ambition. And please don't ignore it. Bring it to the truth of the Word of God and seek to respond as God instructs us to. So how we got to this episode today, where this episode originated from, a precious pastor's wife that I know contacted me for help because she's seeing this in the lives of the women in her church. It's running rampant. And she asked, what are we supposed to do? Well, here's how I responded to her. After much study and prayer and thinking and examining the Bible and going to the Lord and asking, what do we do about jealousy and envy? Well, first, we've got to examine our hearts as best we can. Yes, I know Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10 does tell us the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Verse 10 says, God's the one who searches the heart and tests the mind. In Psalm 139, 23 through 24, we find David praying for God to examine his heart and search his heart and show him where he's not in line with God's word. So that's true. God does know our hearts better than we ever will. But we also know that Scripture encourages us to examine our hearts. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. And then 1 Corinthians 11, 28, that verse commands us to examine our hearts before we participate in the Lord's table in communion so that we're careful not to partake in an unworthy manner. So here's what you can do to take a peek at your own heart and see what's going on in there. It's super easy to remember. Ask yourself, what do I want so badly that I'm willing to sin to get it or willing to sin because I don't have it? And then ask yourself this, why do I want it so badly? What is the promise of this thing? What do I think I'm going to get if I get what she has? And what you find at the end of those questions, if you're willing to answer them honestly, which you might as well do because God already knows, and there's no change happening unless you're honest. So find in your honesty at the end of those questions where you need to confess and repent of your sin to God. So confess it for what it is. Sin. It's not just a feeling. It's a violation of the 10th commandment. Remember we read Exodus 20:17. Yes, we are under grace and no longer under the law. There's more information on that in another episode about the law. But this is a command that's reiterated over and over again in the New Testament. Now listen, repenting includes not just turning away from, but also turning to. So it's not just a call to stop being jealous, stop being envious, but instead it's a call to start being content, content in Christ. So that's another response we should have. We should find our contentment in Christ. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul says, "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Now listen, that last sentence is not a promise that you can lift the heaviest weight in the gym or run the 100-yard dash the fastest. That last sentence means that we can be content in all circumstances because our strength is in Christ. And did you notice? Paul is pretty clear here. He teaches us that contentment is learned. He says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." So when your desires go unmet, when things don't turn out the way that you thought they would, when your best friend gets a new best friend, or your sister gets married and you're still single, or your coworker gets the promotion that honestly you probably deserved, learn contentment. Part of learning contentment is the next thing the Bible tells us to do when the jealousy bug is biting you. We have to cultivate gratitude, an attitude of gratitude if you want a way to remember it easily. My friend, Dr. Jim Fain, he says the opposite of every sin, every doubt, every wicked desire of our hearts is thankfulness. It's gratitude. When we are thankful for what we have, and I'm talking like really thankful, intentionally thankful, not just in word, but in our hearts, we won't be thinking about what we don't have, because jealousy looks horizontally. It looks around, left to right, to see what's going on around you. Gratitude looks vertically. It lifts its eyes to thank God for who he is and what he's done on our behalf. Here's an easy application. Just get out a piece of paper and start making a list of the evidences of grace in your own life, and then thank God for it. That's pretty easy. Another way we should respond when we recognize that we are struggling with the sin of jealousy and envy is grow your love for other people. Look up from yourself. Stop being a belly button gazer and look out and around you and have love for other people. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love does not envy." So if you love people, you can't envy them. We should be praying for even the specific people that you are envying, that you are jealous of. Pray for them in successes, in blessings, and rejoice with those who rejoice. And then Romans 12:2, allow the word of God to renew your mind. Be intentional in this too. You need to be reading God's word and replacing all the lies and the ignorance and the misunderstanding that you have about what you deserve and what you need with what God's word says. Listen, ultimately, the gospel is the only answer. So we've got to follow the example of Christ. Christ was never envious. He was never jealous. He gave up his glory voluntarily to save people who hated him. On the cross, Jesus on the cross is the most contented man being crushed for the most discontented sinners. Jesus willingly and voluntarily gave himself up to purify us from lawless deeds, including jealousy and envy. That's Titus 2:14. So call your jealousy what it is. It's rebellion against God. It's sin. Expose the idols. Lay your idols bare. And apply the gospel. Remember, Jesus died for this. So that means there's forgiveness and there's power to change. Jealousy and envy, they're just soul-killing poisons. Nothing good comes from these things. We just are led to discontentment and grieving the Holy Spirit, and we lose our joy. Our joy is stolen by this pursuit. But in Christ, you're free from all that because you're free from the power of sin in your life. You can be content. You can celebrate with the others and you can rest in God's perfect providence. So if you're struggling with jealousy today, don't make excuses. No more excuses. Don't justify it. Confess it. Mortify it. Put it to death and replace it with joy in Jesus. Pursue holiness, not comparison. And with God's word as your lens, seek to keep your heart submitted to Christ for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.